You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 12.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello, and thank you for joining me, Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where we help mind, body, spirit entrepreneurs take the icky out of marketing. On today's episode, we have joining us Beth Davis. For the past 12 years, Beth's entire focus has been on one thing and one thing only, helping thousands of entrepreneurs discover their life's purpose and get paid for their passions through a breakthrough, time-proven scientific system called Hand Analysis. Beth then helps you monetize your purpose so that you can get paid for your passions and be the change you want to see in the world. She has been featured in Cosmopolitan, the Los Angeles Times, and can be heard on Radio Europe, NPR, and the BBC 5. Beth has also been recognized as an Info Marketer of the Year by the Glazer Kennedy Inner Circle. Beth, thank you so much for joining us today on Mindful Marketing. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very honored to be here. Thank you for having me, Kimberly.
Fantastic. You're welcome. I'm so excited about this. So looking over your stuff, and I love the feel and the dynamic of everything. Tell me, and my listeners, your story behind your personal journey of how you came to create yourpurpose.com and the whole process for you.
Well, I was working as a marketing director for a small design firm, and that was probably in my late 20s. During that time, I was struggling with a pretty severe bout of depression, and it was concerning to me because I had not experienced depression before. I had that listlessness, and I'd have these crying jags that would happen whenever. I mean, sometimes at work, I would have to go to the bathroom. It was very strange, and I didn't really know what was going on. And it actually reached a peak where I started to have suicidal thoughts, which scared me, because I understood the emotional consequences of suicide on the people remaining. That's just so devastating for the living. And I also felt there'd be a spiritual cost of that. So I was aware something wasn't right. Like, I knew, like, what is happening here? And I was so distressed by this. So about that time, I found a book called The Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Mace, which is one of my all-time favorite books. And in that book, she talks about using what she calls symbolic sight to look at your life. So instead of looking at things literally only from a physical perspective, to look at things from a spiritual perspective and to ask yourself, what is this showing up for in order to teach me? You know, why is this person in my life? Why am I having this physical ailment? And then she goes into great detail linking all of the sort of your physical experiences to the chakra system and to the tree of life from the Kabbalah. And she also ties in the sacraments from Christianity. So she's really an original thinker, and she like downloaded this system. And so about that time, I was reading the book, and I realized in the midst of that, oh my gosh, I'm in some kind of spiritual crisis of meaning. And when I was reading the book, she said something that really jumped out at me. And she said, you know, be careful what you pray for because your prayers are answered. And what happens when people make a prayer is that they want to control the outcome. So if you're going to really turn your life over to the divine, basically put on your seatbelt. So I took all of that in. And finally, it had reached a point where I was so down in the dumps that I actually got down by my bed one night and I kneeled down in prayer. And I said, God, universe, whatever is out there, please, if you can hear me, please show me my life's purpose. And if you do, I promise you, I will be your humble servant. I will go where you ask me to go. I will do what you ask me to do. I will serve those I am meant to serve. Please, please show me. And then I went to sleep. And I did notice I felt calmer. I felt calmer. Time passed. And sometime later, a couple weeks later, a knock comes at my door. And the woman at the door is this little petite brown-eyed woman, and she was sent by my well-meaning girlfriends, who knew how depressed I was, to give me a hand reading. Now, I had told my friend Pammy, who kept bugging me, get a reading, get a reading. I said, Pammy, like, you want me to get a palm reading? Really? You think that's going to help me with my depression, huh? And she wouldn't let up. So finally this day came. The knock comes on the door. I have just opened the door, and this little woman says to me, hold out your hands. And I think to myself, oh boy, here we go. I'm going to find out I have 2 years to live, or I'm going to meet some tall, dark stranger or some other nonsense. So I reluctantly put my hands out to her. And she looks at my hands and then looks at my face and looks back at my hands and kind of shakes her head. And I think, oh boy, here it comes. And she says, Beth, you are not living the life you are meant to live. You are not living your life's purpose. And I just about keeled over, right? Because I had made this prayer where I asked Spirit, please show me my life's purpose. So I said to her, well, you're going to show me what it is, right? She said, yes. So she did indeed do a reading for me. And in the course of that reading, it was revealed to me that my life purpose is essentially to be an innovative role model, a spiritual teacher, and a business owner, helping people understand the relationship between their core identity or life's purpose. It's another way of thinking of life's purpose is core identity, like what your soul contract or soul agenda came here to accomplish, as it relates to finance, as it relates to material success, as it relates to structures and systems, and actually using our will in the material world to create an environment and a team, if you have a business, right? A system that's conducive to the success of your business. And at the time, I didn't really have any idea how I was going to do that. And she also told me I had all these gift markings in my hands, and some people have a lot of gift markings. I found out later that not everyone has gift markings. I found out I had a gift marking for speaking and writing, and I had a gift marking for making money, and I had a gift marking for being in the spotlight, and I had a gift marking for being an empath, and I had a gift marking for being an intuitive, and I had a gift marking for being psychic, and I had all these gifts.
Wow.
And she said, you're going to use these gifts as you help people. And I said, well, how am I going to help people? And she said, well, you know, I think you'd make a very good hand reader. And I said, oh, come on, you're just trying to enroll me in your class. And she said, well, that too. And I think you'd be a really good hand reader, so you might want to check it out. So I was hooked. And for about a year, I studied really informally. Like, I went to some classes, and when this woman would come to town, I'd meet with her for an afternoon, and I'd say, what's this mean in my hands, and what's this mean? And then eventually I trained for a longer period of time, and I learned this whole database called Scientific Hand Analysis that's been created by many different people over time. And it is really quite a beautiful system. And never realizing that this hobby of mine was going to turn into my profession. So that was about 15 years ago, Kimberly, that I had that experience, that awakening, really, that took me out of that dark place. And I know from astrology, I was in my first Saturn return. And what I've been told by astrologers is that that hits us at about age 27. And we examine our lives, and we look at what we want to release. And it can be very tumultuous and difficult time. And it usually lasts for about 3 years. And then people hit a second return, usually in their mid, late 50s. So that first Saturn return, I mean, I was right on schedule for having the spiritual crisis of meaning, not realizing that this evolving passion for hands and what the hands reveal would indeed become my profession. So that's how, like, my personal need to know purpose led me to a profession where I help people find their purpose. And I do find that usually the thing we struggle with the most, the thing that we're seeking the most, is what we're here to teach people. Like my friends that have so struggled with feeling lovable and finding love are often the relationship coaches, right, in the end. Mm-hmm. And the people that have, you know, and maybe not even struggled, like with your story, with your incredible success around finance, it's like we're called towards these areas in our life. And sometimes it's pleasure and sometimes it's pain. But those are really the same energies, right? They're just power. And the power within us pulls us towards where we're supposed to be. What's extraordinary about the hands is it's actually it's a spiritual blueprint for your life laid out by nature on your physical body. So the design is right there. And the design is available to us really at any time. There's plenty of systems that will reveal the design. The challenge then is to really honor it and use that blueprint to guide us. So
the follow through with it. That's a fantastic story. I love that.
Thank you.
One knock on the door and that's all it took. Uh-huh. So what was the turning point then from taking that now knowing that that's what you should do is your purpose and actually turning it into a mind, body, spirit business?
All right. Well, I want to say to whoever's listening to this, if you've been in business a long time, you're going to be nodding your head. And if you're just starting about thinking, if you're thinking about starting a business, listen very closely to what I'm about to say. There are no overnight successes. I'm going to say that again. There are no overnight successes. Ever. Even if you become a billionaire at 22, those guys and gals that have done those things with computers, they started when they were like 8, learning the technology because they had a passion for it. So there are no overnight successes. So that's the first thing. You've got to know that. Like, here's the main thing. To go into business to make money is a very masculine approach, and it doesn't typically work for most women. Like, to just go into business to make money, it's foolhardy, because although business, as we understand it, is about making a profit, the money is the last thing to show up, right? The money is the result of the value that we deliver. So I knew that early on, and in part, I think I knew it because business is in my hands as a master path skill. So I have an intuitive sense of what makes something profitable and what clients want and what they don't. And of course, I always ask them just to be sure. Like, people are like, what product should I offer? I'm like, why don't you poll your customers? They'll tell you. Just ask people. They'll tell you what they want. So what I did to turn this passion into a business is I started by doing readings. And I charged $100 a session. And I told people it was $100 a session. And I was booked to the point where I was making about $8,000 a month.
Wow.
Just doing readings. Now, I had a background in marketing and sales. So before I went on my Hands of America tour and traveled around the United States, I would send out a press release to the local papers of the town I was going to. And the article would say, you know, Beth's only in town for these dates. Now, typically they would run my article with the photo without fact checking it, which tells you a lot about the media. I just have to say, like, they don't even call you to see if it's true. But they'd run the article, and then I'd get to town and I'd have people calling me and I'd have appointments. So I understood very early on that marketing is essential to business success. You absolutely must market because you need to let people know that you're in business, right? Marketing means going to market. That's where the word comes from, right? Like you go to market with your trundle full of oranges or eggs, or you bring your goats or whatever. You're going to market. And when you go to market, you have to have some way of communicating that you have these skills to offer people. So I started with one-on-one sessions, and then I learned about coaching. And I thought, wow, it'd be great to coach people around their purpose. So at the end of my session, I would say, by the way, you may or may not know this, but I own a full-time coaching business. Would you be interested in coaching? And people said, yes, I would. And then I learned this coaching call strategy from a guy named Robert Middleton, who's a wonderful marketer. And I started using his coaching call strategy, and I was just enrolling clients. You know, and they'd say, well, how much is the program? And I'd say, oh, it's $3,000 for 3 months, and this is what you get. And they'd be like, okay, count me in. So before I knew it, this is probably by 2004, I had a full-time coaching business, and I was making about $60,000 a year. But I was working really, really, really hard. And then in about 2005, I discovered a woman named Allie Brown, who's since become a wonderful friend and is a very dear mentor of mine. And she's masterful at helping people get their businesses online. And in fact, there's so many success stories out there who, you know, she was the teacher of those people. And I studied her online blueprint system. You know, and I like blueprints because the hands are a blueprint. Mm-hmm. And I started implementing the things she suggested, you know, having an opt-in box, having landing pages, writing really good sales copy. I became a student of copywriting. I still write most of my copy. Long-form sales letters. It takes me 3 to 5 days to write a long-form sales letter. I still write them. And I just learned what it took to market. So, you know, this idea of, oh, make money fast online is absurd and it's nonsense. And all business is complex and has many moving parts. So if you're not prepared for that, don't do it. Keep your day job. But if you really like complexity and you like adventure, entrepreneurship is probably for you. So I started learning all this marketing stuff. And I just, the way I do things is this. I think to myself, what do I really want to do right now? What are my clients really asking for? And intuitively, do I feel it will be successful? Does my testing show it will be successful? And then I write a sales letter and I do some kind of launch, whether it's a video launch or a series of emails or a series of teleseminars. I do some kind of promotion. And it's great to do this with affiliates, right? As your business grows, you can have more and more people promote for you. And then it all usually leads to a webinar or sales call, and then people go to the sales page and they enroll in the program. So I really learned this whole sequence of marketing in 2005. I then spent several years training with Bill Glazer and Dan Kennedy, who were Allie's mentors, because Allie and I became friends. And I said, you know, I don't think it's a good idea for me to coach with my friend who coached you. And she said, oh, Bill and Dan, go check them out. So what she did is she took the kind of male model marketing and she really translated it for women, which was ingenious on her part. So I went to Dan and Bill, and I was usually the only woman in the mastermind, but I was surrounded with, you know, huge internet marketers. I won't name names, but they're all guys that anyone who's even online a little bit, you've seen them because they have millions of people on their email list. And these were the guys in my group. And I was the hand analyst. So I surrounded myself intentionally with the people who were great at business. And I never thought of myself as different or special or out there. They may have, but I didn't care. And I think this is one of the things that women especially have to get over, is feeling like you have to be special or that you're different. Instead of, no, you're in business, and what works for one business will generally work for another. However, there's something very, very important in this. The inner self must dictate what feels joyful, especially for a woman. So there's all these different tools and strategies, but you, as the business owner, you've got to understand how those strategies tie into your larger vision. So my largest vision is to bring the knowledge of life purpose, which is in your fingerprints, to the masses, to the world. So I am actually working at a very high technological level to bring my work to literally millions of people, which I think I will have achieved in the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, it will be an ongoing process, but in the next 2 to 3 years, literally millions of people will have access to what we're creating. Now, granted, that didn't happen overnight. How did I start? I had to learn how to read hands, right? Then I had to do one-on-one readings, and then I did coaching, and then I did coaching groups, and then I did trainings. And then I created online products, right? And then I created online e-courses, and then so on and so forth. Like, as the technology has improved, I've been able to improve and leverage what I offer. And what it always comes back to, Kimberly, is what do I love doing? So the other day I was sitting at my desk and I asked myself the question, "What, Beth, what do you really love doing?" So I was thinking about my vision. I was like, well, I really love creating content. And I really love editing things, and I just really love doing that. So if I'm going to be sitting at my computer, I want to be sitting there like doing editing. And if not, I want to be outside, right? So I'm either creating something or I'm not at my computer. And then I love speaking and teaching, right? So when I speak, what I can sell are all my automated classes, which are leveraged. I don't have to deliver them. I create it once and it's delivered to thousands of people over and over and over again. And I love to teach, and that's when the live component comes in. So I teach 1 to 2 groups a year. It's taken me, though, 15 years to get to this place. And I know it will evolve again, but I'm at a point in my life where I'm automating a lot of what I do because I want to travel again. And I have the good fortune, because I have an international market, thanks to the internet, of followers that are in our community, that they're often inviting me to their different countries to lead seminars and speak at their events. So my speaking schedule is pretty full, speaking to groups of anywhere 50 to 500 people typically, and I'm invited to speak at these events. But it's because of my track record. It's not because, you know, I have some secret formula. So when people are new to business, like, no, you're not going to get a ton of, you're not going to get people inviting you to speak, most likely, unless you have a genius for speaking and you've got tons of YouTube videos and people are seeing you speak. You know, it's like, that's the thing. I just, I feel badly often for the new entrepreneur because they have stars in their eyes about what's going to happen for them with their business. And really, the only reason to do this is you love helping people. And that's the only reason I've ever done it, is I love when someone lights up around their purpose, Kimberly. Yeah. Like, that's it. Like, I still do one-on-one readings, but I charge $1,500 for them. And I just sold one today. I mean, I sell, I don't know, a couple a week. That's a nice income. I mean, if all I did was readings, I could have one staff and I would net about $100,000 a year.
Beautiful.
But I have a much bigger vision than that, right? But it didn't happen overnight. Right. It's a process. Yeah.
It does take one. You're right. But for the new entrepreneur, the question I get, people go, well, how long is it going to take before I make money? That's the question they always ask when they start. How long is it going to take? And I'm like, it might take a little while.
Well, and also, I don't think it's the right question. It's like, get a client.
Right.
Like, I was always thinking about the money first, from the standpoint of, I have to make money immediately so I can fund my business and keep it growing. So when someone's asking, you know, how am I going to make money? It's like, well, what do you offer? What's your value proposition? Like, what's the transformation you offer? And who do you offer it to? And it's not everyone. It's a very specific demographic. And how are you going to reach those people? And what are you going to do today to close a sale? You've got to be able to close a sale. Now, I was trained in cold calling. So I can call anybody, and I don't cold call. Like, people call me now, right? But it wasn't always that way. And even the system I just described, like, it's a brilliant system. Like, do a reading, and then I'd invite people to coaching. But I'd invite them only if I wanted to coach with them. Because I'm a big believer, you know, it's my business. I'm going to do it my way, and I'm only going to work with who I want to work with. And I don't bend over backwards for my clients. You know, I don't. I serve them. But it's my business, so we both need to have fun here. I need to have fun, and the client needs to have fun. If both parties aren't having fun, it's not going to work.
Right? Exactly. It's the whole point. So who is your ideal client, and how do you find them?
Okay, so my ideal client is a woman 45 or older. She makes over $100,000 a year in gross income. She's highly educated, usually will have an advanced degree in medicine, science, MBA type. She's a learner. She's a learner because the stuff that I teach is pretty complex. And if someone isn't a student of life, if the client doesn't love learning, they're not a good fit for me. So I've learned that people who already have advanced degrees, guess what? They're really good at going to school. They're really good at learning stuff. And then they're really good at making money, right? So not only that, they can afford to pay my fees. You know, because I am probably the highest paid hand analyst. And my classes, yes, people can get them cheaper elsewhere. They always come back to us because I think ours are the best. And I strive for that. Like, you get what you pay for. So I want clients who are learners, who can afford to do our programs, and who send us referrals. So I find them at women's conferences when I speak. I find them through doing joint ventures online, you know, to kind of list swapping, as it were. I mean, people opt in, but, you know, we market to multiple lists. List buying, can buy lists and market to lists, direct mail to lists. And then, of course, Facebook. Actually, LinkedIn's actually better for that demographic than Facebook. But that's, you know, that's the thing. Like, you need to go where they are. And I also am a member of a number of different organizations with women who have multiple 6- and 7-figure businesses. So they're very interested in what we're doing, and they're an ideal client. So I really make it a point. Like, I want to turn away the people that aren't ideal clients, because ultimately they won't be able to afford our programs, or they won't have the staying power to actually finish them. So, you know, I'm looking for a very, very specific group of people.
And I like that you say that, because I think a lot of times when people, especially when they're starting out, they're like, who's your ideal client? It's like, everybody. No, it's not. It needs to be a very specific, and that ideal client changes as their business changes. But it's such a key point to drive home that you really need to know specifically, who is she or he? And that's
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely, Kimberly. And what I'm really shocked by is people going to business don't do research, which is, sorry, I'm going to say this, it's idiotic and stupid. If you're going to be in business, you had better spend the money and the time to research your demographic, or you're just wasting your time. Like, as soon as my business started to grow, I started pulling my own client files and pulling the clients that were my favorite. And I did a workup of like 20 clients, and I was like, okay, these are my favorite 20 clients. Where did these people come from, and where can I find more of them? And, you know, if you're going to be in business, you got to be willing to like do the work. I mean, it's called busyness for a reason. I mean, the word actually is busyness. It's hilarious to me. The word business is busyness. Busy dash net. It's busyness. So if you're in business, you got to love to work. You got to love to do research. You got to love, you know, setting boundaries and hiring and fire people. You got to love marketing. You got to love sales. You got to love it all. And if you don't love it, I don't know, find some good therapy to work through whatever your resistance is to actually communicating with people what you do. Because really what's underneath people's fear of success, which is, it's not fear of failure, because people fail 95% of the time. So people don't have a fear of failure. They fear success, because success means, oh, I might have to cut off my deadbeat brother who keeps asking me for loans, and, right? And I might have to fire that inefficient virtual assistant who is overcharging me and yet is asleep at the wheel. Oh, you know, if I'm really successful, I might be visible, and then people are going to write awful things about me on my YouTube channel. Like, I've experienced pretty much all of those things. So I've changed the names and details to protect the guilty. But anyway, this is not for the faint of heart. Having a business is the biggest spiritual endeavor you will ever take on, other than an intimate sexual relationship with another human being. Those two things, to me, hands down, are it. So get it. If you really want to grow, get into an intimate sexual partnership with someone that drives you a little bit crazy. And just a little bit crazy, because it just enough that you know they're getting down to the real issue. And go into business to try and be of service to humanity. Like, if you do those two things, and all of your crap will come up, right? All of it will just rise to the surface like magic. And that's where all your power is in all that garbage floating on the surface of the lake, like oil on water, just floating there, murky and gross. And you're like, oh, hello. Hello, self.
That is the most perfect analogy I have ever heard.
Right?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
That is, you nailed it. I totally nailed it.
So if you don't want to, like, here's the deal. I just heard a woman lecture yesterday and she said this. She said, look, yes, you need to be passionate about your business. You need to know your demographic. You need to understand the trends that are happening in the marketplace. Da, 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 da. She said, but listen, the people who really succeed in business over the long term are the people who do their inner spiritual work. You don't succeed unless you are willing to be deeply introspective about your BS and you're willing to root it out and heal it and take ownership for it. So the minute someone gets into the blame game with me, I'm like, okay, you just haven't done enough inner work. I don't know what to tell you, but blaming me isn't going to fix it. Or when people are looking for the next guru or the next widget or the, you know, they get shiny object syndrome as if that's going to fill them up. Because one thing I've learned is nothing external will ever make you feel whole. Another person can't, sugar won't, money won't. Nothing will make you feel whole and help you love yourself. The only thing that creates self-love is spending time with yourself, loving yourself. That's it. Which means being nice to yourself, right? Not being self-critical, getting enough sleep, doing the things that bring you joy. Because really, the only relationship that you've really ever got that you can trust is the one with yourself. You know, other people die. They leave. They lie. They cheat. They steal. They betray. They lose interest. That's just life. Everyone we know is going to die, and we're going to die too. And I think the inability for people to just face that reality, like, wow, I really, the most important relationship is the one with me.
Yeah.
And if that relationship is loving, if that relationship is in integrity, it doesn't mean it's perfect. I mean, I make mistakes every day of the week. That relationship feeds the business. So whenever someone runs into an issue in their business, like they have a difficult client who won't pay, when you look at, okay, where in my life am I being difficult to not paying?
That's such a great point.
Right? It's always the self, or else the issue wouldn't be showing. You'd have some other issue show up, right? So that's the thing I've learned with business is whatever difficulty you're running into, it's just showing you your lack of skill or knowledge. And it's an opportunity to learn. So I'm in business because it's such a great way to learn about life. That's the personal reason. And the public reason is I really love when someone lights up around their passion, right? And they realize, oh, I'm really magnificent. And I have something amazing to offer. And there is a path. I mean, I know I've said business is complicated and difficult and overwhelming at times, and it's totally doable if you have the right systems and structures and you have good support and you have a good mentor. It's totally doable, but it's not going to happen overnight, and there's no way you're going to go into it for a quick win of money. And I just, you know, that's another stupid thing people do, is thinking that, oh my God, how am I going to make money? And then they like tell me about their next multi-level marketing scheme, whatever. And I'm like, get a grip. Like, there is no quick fix to your money problems. Your money problems are a result of your self-worth problems, right? Okay. Your physical problems are a result of not being loving to yourself in some way. And until the inner issue is healed, the outer will just keep being a rock in your shoe, basically. Yeah. So,
another great analogy.
Uh-huh.
So when you're the first person I think I've heard say that LinkedIn is one of your top social media interactions with your customers. So I find that fascinating. But I think it's because of your demographic you're looking for.
Well, that's where all the money is. All the money's in LinkedIn. It's not on Facebook.
No.
Facebook is a social media site. It's social media. It's not that you can't make money on Facebook. I do not want to say that. I've gotten clients from Facebook. Absolutely, you can make money from Facebook. People are making billions. I'm not saying you can't do that. But if you want speaking gigs, if you want high-end clients, the people who do business are on LinkedIn. The business professionals, they are on LinkedIn, and they are there to do business. It is the business social media site.
That is that. Yep, absolutely. It is. And I think that's such a key thing too, because we're talking, you know, mind, body, spirit. And again, a lot of times we forget we're in business. We are entrepreneurs, and that's where we need to be.
Right. Well, here's the thing with social media. Twitter is great for generating leads because you have 140 characters. You can put a little pithy thing with a link, a tagged link to your landing page. So if you want leads, use Twitter. Facebook is great for developing relationships. building rapport, great place to survey customers, great place to build relationships. And if you have ads there, lead them to some kind of free offer. Lead them to a landing page that offers some goodies. And then LinkedIn is a phenomenal place to do business. So if you're looking to do business to business, that's where you want to be. So ultimately, you're using all three of those, right? And then Pinterest can be fun, especially if you're in a visual business, if you're an interior designer or clothing designer, or doing anything super, super visual, Pinterest is great. And then, of course, have a YouTube channel with content. You know, we upload lots and lots of videos on the hands to YouTube because it doesn't so much bring us directly business, but it does create a following. And then we notice that people come from YouTube and they opt in right to our community. And then some of those people end up joining one of our programs. So I would say for social media, like, learn about it, but then really hire someone to manage it, even just 10 hours a week or 5 hours a week, because it's a lot to track. And it needs to be tracked so you can see what's working and what isn't. And that's really an art form. Like, I don't know how to, I mean, I can set up a Facebook ad, but like, come on, like I don't even log into my Infusionsoft backend software. Like I haven't for years. Like right. I just am out of it. And I just have my team report to me. Like I'm not a do-it-yourselfer anymore. I was when I started out, like I could do some HTML and I put in my own opt-in box on one of those, you know, build your own websites, which was good because it grew my list pretty quickly. I had an opt-in box. But I haven't done it since probably 2006. I haven't logged in to those things. So I couldn't tell you. I'm not a do-it-yourselfer. So I'd rather pay someone to do it right the first time. So,
yep. It can be so time consuming if you don't know it. So it makes, you know, what's the value of your time in exchange for how much value are they going to give you if they know how to do it right and can start making you money on it?
Right. Well, Infusionsoft takes a good year and a half to learn. Yeah. A full year and a half to learn how to do it. So do you have a year and a half you want to learn like your customer relationship software?
No.
Or programming websites. It takes people 6 months to a year to learn how to be a programmer.
Right.
Now, you're absolutely right. Any of those things, hire an expert. And these days with Odesk.com and Elance.com and TaskRabbit.com, there's all these amazing websites where you can find super skilled help at a really reasonable price to get the job done right, because you can rate right on there how well they did it.
Yep.
So there's really no excuse for not getting help. Again, that's a way a person hides. It's an inner issue. They're trying to maintain control and stay invisible, because being visible is scary. I mean, mostly people fear success because they don't want to be criticized. They don't want to have difficulty with their family or their spouse. They don't want to be isolated from the people that, you know, used to be their drinking buddies or whatever. But, you know, your life's going to change when you become successful. And, yeah, people are going to want a piece of you. It's just part of the journey. Nobody escapes it.
Right.
It's not like it's specific to one person. It's just part of the deal. So
the growth, the part of the growth process.
Yeah, the growth process. That's a nice way of putting it.
So looking back on your journey, because you've given us so much information, this has been fantastic. But if you had to go back to the beginning and all knowing everything you know now, and it sounds like you've got it dialed in exactly where it needs to be, what would be the thing you would have changed and done differently?
I would have gotten more help a lot sooner.
Okay.
Way sooner.
That's so key. Because we try and do it all ourselves, right?
I would have gotten help in 2001 instead of 2005. Although the first thing I did when I started my business in like 1998 is I was smart enough to hire a bookkeeper that week.
Yes.
Like I don't do my own books. I haven't done my own books. So I got a bookkeeper. And a bookkeeper is really, really wise thing to have. I have a really good CPA. So that's the first thing I always tell my clients. Like, get a good bookkeeper and a good CPA. And preferably they work together and know each other. It makes life easier. And definitely get an assistant. And some people need a personal assistant even before they need a business assistant because they've got kids. So they need someone to run groceries, go get groceries and run other errands and pick up the dry cleaning and take the dog to the groomer. And you shouldn't be doing any of that stuff because you can pay someone 10 to 15 bucks an hour to do all that stuff. Now, if I'm making 1500 bucks for one reading, I could pay someone 1500 bucks a month and they would have them for 100 hours. At 15 bucks an hour, right? So this is the thing I want to drill into people's heads. Now, the reason it's so difficult in the West in the U.S. particularly, is that people are raised to do it themselves. And they're taught basically that needing help is weak and prima donna-ish. So there's those two things that for women especially, they feel like, oh, like I can't really ask for help because I don't deserve it. Like it makes me, you know, who do I think I am? And also I shouldn't need the help. You know, if I'm a competent woman, I should be able to do all this stuff myself. And the fact is you can't and you shouldn't. And up until just the past couple hundred years, people lived in villages where they divided all the labor and no one person was expected to like cook, clean, raise the kids, clean the hut, go get the vegetables, chop the wood, carry the water. It wasn't expected. It was a group effort. So in that same way, think tribally when you're developing your ideal life. Like think about what's best for the community and how can the community do this? And your community is comprised of you, your partner, your kids, your pets, your personal assistant, your bookkeeper. Like that's your community. And, you know, enroll people. Also, I see a lot of people don't, their kids are like not doing enough. Like I raised kids and I'll tell you, like, you know, as soon as they could, you know, wash a dish, they were in charge of washing the dishes. So put your kids to work too. Like they don't need to be waited on. They don't need any special treatment. That just trains them to be kind of crippled adults that live at home till they're 25 and really, really don't want that to happen.
Or 30 or 40.
Oh, jeez. Good Lord. No, it sounds horrible. So I couldn't wait to leave home though. Like I almost had my parents emancipate me. They were fine, but I just wanted to be free. I was like, get me out of here. I can't, I'm never coming back. Like I need to leave. But you know, some kids just are, you know, they're more attached and they want to cling to mom and dad. So yeah. So get the team involved, women especially, on your – now men have an easier time with this because their brain is wired differently. Their brain is wired for leadership and control and single focus. And you notice most men in business have no problem hiring and delegating whatever's needed to get the job done. Like it doesn't occur to them not to. Of course I need help with this. I'm not going to do all this. Like, you know, I want to do as little of that stuff as possible so I can focus on my brilliance. So that's one thing we can learn from men that's very helpful. As women, we love connection. We love community. We love helping people. And so we've got to be careful that we don't neglect ourselves in our desire to help. And one of the ways women do neglect themselves as not getting enough support early on. So that's what I would have changed. Oh boy, I would have hired a coach a lot sooner. I would have hired a business coach immediately. That was a big mistake. I wish I'd hired one. I would have definitely hired a personal assistant and a virtual assistant right away had I known better. And I would have gone to more classes at the SBA office, the Small Business Administration office, which most cities have, because the classes are free and you can get a business mentor there. Who's usually a retired successful business owner who will help you with your business. And that's free. So those are the things I would have done differently.
That's fantastic advice. I always say, like, think about how much you want to earn. Like, what's your dollar amount? What's your time worth? And if you can hire someone to do it for less, do it.
Exactly. Totally. Totally.
Well, you have been absolutely amazing. And it was a pleasure and to hear all of your advice, and I hope everyone soaks it in and everything. And so if they want to find you, if my listeners want to know where you are and find what their life purpose is, getting their hand reading, where would they go look for you?
You can go to yourpurpose.com, and at yourpurpose.com, there is, if you opt in there, there's a free DVD that you can watch right away, or you can have it shipped to you, where I talk about the number one thing holding you back from living your life's purpose. It's quite fascinating. We didn't get into the number one thing, but there is a number one thing, and it's a spiritual thing. It's not an out in the world thing that you're not doing. It's a spiritual thing you might not be aware of. So that's the number one thing holding you back. And there's also three bonus tutorials that are each 20 minutes plus that are interactive. We built them in Articulate, which is a software, and you can go in and you can actually click things on the screen and there's little quizzes and it's totally interactive. And we've gotten such great feedback. Like people really get hooked on them. They really enjoy them. So you'll find there's just the free offer is tons of content to get you started in understanding, you know, the work that we do at Your Purpose.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you so much for all the information you've given us. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you, Kimberly.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.